on the Echo Link station. When I drop, I will do it. I'll send it one time just so you'll be able to hear it again.
K2YO.
Well, that's what it would sound like when K2YO wants to break in and say some words.
Okay. Y2H.
And Y2H, go ahead.
All righty. So that's the verification. I'm on Echo Link also. Good night, Dick. NY2H.
Your voice was a little bit mechanical sounding, but quite understandable. Bye-bye for now.
Have a great evening, Dick. K2YO clear.
And good night, Bernie. NY2H clear.
K2EJ, K2YO.
Yeah, I see a J6CKA signed in. That's a Japan call sign. Well, there's a lot of people that check in. I think an Australian station also.
Yeah, Tom up in the Bronx, you've spoken with him before. He's got a big linking network. His network, they had never really experienced a BECnet, and they were on and were hooked. There were some very positive comments made about it. So I actually spoke to him on the telephone, and they may be trying an RF link in the future so that they can actually participate. They were on Echo Link, so with the delay, you can imagine the delay from Japan to here. There was no way they were going to be able to actually step in, but maybe in the future.
All right. Stay with me here for a second. I want to do something, and just want to make a change and see. This is what I want. Okay. Talk to me again.
Okay, no problem. Good news is everything went well tonight. Echo Link performed very well. You heard I was able to break in a couple of times, and I think as Dick becomes used to the that mechanical sound, that will be a very useful feature. I think we may want to take the entrances and exit messages down, at least during the network, or during the net, so that they don't get confused. I've also wondered, there are some other voices that we can have it speak, and I've wondered if we could have it speak something else in addition to the call time, maybe say K2YO comments or something like that. I still have to look at the vocabulary that Jonathan has built into his software and see what other words are available.
All right. Until I figure out what the hell is going on with this stupid control, I think I'll leave this courtesy tone that the Echo Link thing makes on, because that way they know that you've let go.
I think that's a good idea. I think it's a very good idea, because it is very confusing because you don't know when they have stopped. And it does make the conversation more prolonged than it really needs to be.
Yeah, there's no volume control on it, but I don't think it's too loud.
Quick question, Eric.
Go ahead, Wesley.
I have a 4 port for 100 megahertz for the oscilloscope, and I have the 500 megahertz Tektronix. First question is, what is the difference between 500 and 700 Sirius of this oscilloscope? And the second one is, am I right? As long as I do not exceed 100 megahertz, I can use this with the 500 megahertz Tektronix. Back to you.
You're going to have to bear with me, because I'm not listening to you very loud, and of course your accent is a little hard for me. So let me see if I get what you're asking. You have a 100 megahertz scope and a 500 megahertz probe, is that what you said?
No, I have 100 megahertz probes and 500 megahertz scope. Of course I have another 100 megahertz, but my question is, if I don't go with the signals that are more than 100 megahertz, I can still use it with 500 megahertz scope, right?
Yeah, well, if you've got 100 megahertz probe, you're putting like 300 megahertz into it. It's going to start rounding things off on you, but it'll still pass.
question is, what is the difference between the 500 series and 700 series of Tektronix?
Let me see if I got that right. You're asking for the difference between a 500 megahertz scope and a 700 megahertz scope, is that right?
The one that I've got is TD654C. So it's 600 series. So 600 series and 700 series, what is the difference between them?
You know, I should put some headphones on. Hey, Bernie, can you tell me what he's asking? Because it's a little hard for me to understand.
No problem. Eric, he's asking what's the difference in the 600 series and 700 series model numbers of HD scopes.
All right, I don't think I can answer that question. I don't know HP very well. I know the Tektronix series stuff. I mean, I've got an HP scope over here. What the hell model is it?
This is a really old one. This is a 1740. It's ancient.
This is only a 200 megahertz scope. Oh, well. Sorry, Wesley. I really can't answer that for you. I mean, I'm sure you can look it up on the web.
No, this is Tektronix. There's not HP. It's Tektronix. I'm asking about Tektronix. Tektronix 600 series and 700 series, but you...
Okay. You're talking about the sportable ones, right?
That I didn't catch. I have exactly the TD654C. TD654C Tektronix. And there is another one, TD754A or B. I just want to make sure what is the difference between them.
Okay, the 7000 series scopes, they don't make anymore. That was the frame with all the plugins, right?
Looks for me for quite new. That is the one that I've got. And I don't see much difference when I look at both of them. I don't see much difference. I just purchased one today, and I didn't get it yet, Victor.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences between the various different frames. Like it was a 7501, you could plug the 600 or 800 megahertz vertical in, and had I think that was a 4-bay. The specific models are different. Some of the frames have greater bandwidth. They take different kinds of modules. And the 6000 series actually was a bit older.
Okay, well, this one is four sample rate, all channels simultaneously, 5 giga sample per second, real-time bandwidth, 500 megahertz, maximum record length, per channel is 15,000 points, vertical resolution, 1 millivolt division to 10 volt, and time measurement accuracy is 50 PS, display 7 inches color. Yeah. Back to you, Antoine.
All right, do me a favor. Next time you hear me during the day, because I got my Tektronix book downstairs, and I can actually look up the specific model numbers and see what the differences are.
Okay. I'm not going to bother you at this time because it's very late, but it looks like a very much decent oscilloscope. But
yeah, you know, over the years they made so many of them. You know, the 7000 series stuff was considered a laboratory scope. The 6000 series was considered a service scope, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And you plug different modules in. You could, you know, get four-channel inputs, two-channel inputs, differential inputs, dual-trigger time-based, single-trigger time-based. It's a matter of what you plugged in the hole. You could even plug in the first two slots. You could even put a 7L12 spectrum analyzer in the front of it.
Okay. Yeah, because I just want to make sure that I did something that is decent. I mean, I didn't pay much for it. I've got a pretty good price. Just 500 megahertz, 4 channels, color display. Probably is not Not the Mercedes 500. Pretty good, I believe. To his jet.
Yeah, have you ever gone to Dayton?
Yeah, when I hear you tomorrow, I'm gonna ask you this question again.
Yeah, because if you've got like a 7,000 series scope, you should take a trip to Dayton. You get modules for the thing for like about 20-30 bucks a piece. You know, they just have piles of them. They almost give them away. I mean, you know, those old scopes. You know, those were actually real state of the art scopes when they made them. Today, in the real world, they call them old scopes, but they're damn good.
Well, actually, the one that I've got today is TDS 654C. 654C, so it's a 600 series, that's what you say, the service scopes. But, yeah, whatever I've got. I just want to ask the professional what he thinks about it.
You know, in terms of real-world experience, most guys it's limited because, I mean, you use a particular scope or, you know, a couple of particular scopes, and they've made hundreds of versions of different things. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to get a straight answer from someone. I mean, I know the scopes that I've used over the years, but that's only a small, you know, a small selection, so to speak.
Okay. Okay, I'm not going to interrupt you guys any longer. Just the last question is, I've got a 40 kilovolts probe, and it's 1 to 1,000. My understanding is that the reading voltage versus the output voltage will be 1,000 less. Back to you.
Yeah, if it's a 1 to 1,000 volt, you get, you know, you put 1,000 volts in, and 1 volt comes out the end, yeah?
Okay. Just don't know what is the maximum voltage that I can get delivered to the scope, probably 10 volts, right?
Yeah, well, if you've got a real probe, it's a big, big, big thing. It looks like an enema probe, you know. It usually has a big pin around it where you hold your hand so you don't get any corona discharge on you. Those probes are usually good to, you know, easily 100,000 volts.
Well, this probe that I have purchased doesn't have a BNC connector on it. And it has a little meter on it that will, on the probe by itself, that it will show what is the voltage on it. And so my understanding is that I kind of connected that typical probe to the end of that high voltage probe. Am I right?
All right, if it's got a meter on it, that has a little wire with a clip lead on the end, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, it sounds like a TV picture tube probe. Probably good for like 30 or 40,000 volts.
It's a 40,000 volts. Right. Trying to find out what is the model number for it. I don't have the proper screen on it. Just a moment. HitchKit. Is it HitchKit IM5210W?
No, that doesn't mean anything to me, but it sounds like a, you know, picture tube probe. You clip lead to ground and you stick the thing under the rubber cap at the picture tube and you see if your high voltage circuit is working right, and then you adjust the high voltage regulator to 27,000 volts. Probably has a little red line at that voltage, and that's kind of what that's intended for.
You're absolutely right. It does have it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's a big, big stuff. You hold it in the hand and you feel it.
Yeah, well, the probe that I was talking to you about is a big mother probe that you can hook up to your scope or you can hook it to a float voltmeter, and, you know, you can do a half a megavolt with it without a problem.
Okay, well, I paid for it $39.
All right, very good. Well, I hope that helps you out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, guys, I'm not going to disturb you because I interrupt your conversation. And to
Okay, All right, just remember that probe wants to see DC, not pulsating DC.
Repeat it again.
No problem, Wesley. Have a great evening. KCYO.
All right, buddy. Hey, do you get a beep?
Negative. I don't get the beep on IRLP. I've got a receiver on 850, so I do hear it over 850.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. We're not going to hear it on... Wait a minute. When are you listening to IRLP?
My mistake, Echo Link.
Yeah, you're not going to hear it on Echo Link. You should hear it on the air, and if you have another machine linked up to it, I think it'll come through.
Okay. It was interesting tonight when a couple of people timed out. In fact, I think somebody in this conversation timed out. Bad, Eric. And we were still hearing the audio on Echo Link. The Echo Link guys had no idea. I was talking to Lou over texting, and Lou didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, I was just listening to 375. It comes through.
Right, but it doesn't come through on Echo Link. Echo Link stays up, and we were still getting audio.
Oh, you know, I have no idea whether the other Echo Link stations, because you wouldn't hear it yourself. Maybe another Echo Link station might hear it, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, over RF, I heard the timeout, and over Echo Link, I just kept hearing the person talking. It's actually good. There's no reason Echo Link doesn't have any dropout issues, so we might as well just keep streaming it.
Yeah, but if they talk past 180 seconds, then Echo Link will lose them.
Then something's amiss because, no, I take that back. 850 could be dropping off because somebody stepped on the 12 tail. But 850 was dropping off before Echo Link.
Yeah, 850 will drop off at 120 seconds. Echo Link and IRLP will drop off at 180 seconds.
Gotcha. It does look like we have the dropping IRLP links under control. I don't think we lost them at all this week, so the current settings seem to be good about keeping it like they're active.
Yeah, well, a lot of that was my fault. I didn't realize that I can't think of the name of it. It's the thing that keeps the repeater on the air for a couple seconds after you drop it, and that would add into the timer. So I looked at the IRLP links, and none of them got lost. Whether or not Sheldon was dropping out, that's another story.
Well, you know, we're in a great uncharted territory. There's not a technical manual to how to set this thing up. So we're kind of making it up as we go. And yes, I'm not including the Sheldon dropout issue. That's a different problem. Just talking about the basic concept we've been chasing for, 6 months now, about drop blowing the links off during the net. We didn't. And, you know, we had some people stepping on the 12th tail and going too long, and the network stayed up. So looks like we've got a good set of a group of settings now.
Yeah, the word I was looking for is hang time. So, yeah, I think we got the IRLP thing solved. Now we just have to... I'm hoping to get out to Sheldon one day this week and take a look at that.
Well, bring a big hammer.
All right. I got to go to work tomorrow, so I think I'm going to close this up. I'm just going to download the news line and let Richie push the button tomorrow.
Okay, about how long do you think Newfine's downloaded?
Say that again?
By what time do you think Newfine will be downloaded?
Oh, I'm doing it. I already downloaded it to my machine now. I'm just downloading it to the repeater. I'm going to start it in about 30 seconds, and it'll be downloaded in about 2 minutes.
Okay, so if I push the button at 12:45, it should be playable.
Well, you wait a second, and I'll tell you when it's playable.
No problem. I just want to see how that feature works. I've never actually done it on the software. I didn't want to upset everybody during drive time by testing out something that'll take 30, 45 minutes to play.
I'll tell you what, get ready to push a button. Let me just find it here. MN, new, news. Okay, let me get you the right, audio. Newsline. Yes, replace the old one. Okay, it's just 5 megabytes big. You should be able to hit the button in about a minute.
No problem. I think we probably do want to take a look at removing the EchoLink announcements or connection announcements now, or at least during the net, just so we don't get confused. I do like the beeps again. I think we should leave those on.
Would you like to write a script that turns it off and on? You can do it. You know, there's a couple ways you can do it.
Okay, yeah, I'll take a look at Jonathan's what's it called, spec, and see how we can do that. It'd be a good idea.
Now, the simplest way is you can put a timed event and just move the, you know, do a recording of the cursor and have it click the button. You know, click it off at like 7:30 and click it back on at midnight.
Yeah, I'll just write a little command line program that we'll put in the task scheduler and fire it off at fire it off in win configuration at, you know, 7:55, and then fire it off again at like 12:05 in the other configuration.
Yeah, well, did he write it in as Visual Basic or did he write it in C?
None of the above. He wrote it in C sharp.
Yeah, because in C++ you can use CARM.io, which actually lets you get to the radio boxes and the check boxes, you can force them on and off.
Yeah, it's even easier than that. He's got an API where we can just call a function to turn it on and off, I believe.
All right, well, check it out with him. Windows doesn't have a cron table. We have to set up a timer thing, don't you?
Negative. Windows has a task scheduler. It's in the control panel. A lot of the reports that I do for companies fire off in the middle of the night, generate the report, and then drop it into an email. And so we just load them up in the task scheduler. You can tell it what time, what days of the week you want to go on, et cetera. And it fires the application up and runs. When it's done, my application shuts down and just waits for the next trigger.
Now, is Mr. Windows stupid? I know a lot about Windows, but there's a lot I don't know. So where is that, in the control panel?
Well, let me take a look here. Control panel. Yes, control panel, scheduled task.
Yeah, I'm so stupid. I found it before you even... I never bothered to look for it, that's why. Yeah, next runtime, last runtime.
When you take a look at the newer operating systems, I don't know about Vista or I believe it's in Windows 7. It's indefinitely in the 08 server. They've greatly expanded the triggers that you can use in the conditional triggering. I haven't done anything fancier than just time of day, fire something off, but I know there's quite a bit more in there in the newer operating system.
You know, now that I think about it, I've used this before. You know, Windows is not the thing that I play with mostly. I mean, most of my service stuff is all Unix, not even Linux. I mean, it is BSD Unix. A lot of the older stuff that I play with is all running on NT, so whoopee-doo. Anyway, you can push the button anytime now.
Okay, well, 73s, have a great evening. I will catch you later. Have a good evening.
A2IO. Hi, Barry. By the way, you sound real good. A2IO, okay, E2J.
Oh, speaking of the sound stuff, somewhere, you and I have talked about this before. I commented that you sounded differently over your iPhone than you did over a radio. Somewhere just recently, I stumbled across a review of microphones on radios. So somebody had done frequency analysis of them, and what I suspected was true, that the base is heavily rolled off. The lower frequency, let's say that it's running, 300 to 3,000 hertz. The 3,000 hertz is a good 6 to 9 dB louder than the 300 hertz in.
Well, that's a bugger. All right, so what I should do is make an inverse filter for the microphone for the iPhone.
So what that basically says is that you're hearing a much higher fidelity from me than you would if I were on a radio. For example, if Lou's dropped off now, but if Lou speaks, there's a huge difference in Lou's sound because I'm getting full fidelity from him rather than the stuff that's coming over the repeater, which is, you know, pretty much bandpassing. And, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, in the repeater itself, there's a bandpass filter that rolls off anything below 300 hertz and above 3 kilohertz or so. And depending upon the way that the emphasis is set, we'll either push the high end up or leave it flat. I think I have it set for flat, but the next time I go up there and look, I will see, because each port has its own pre-emphasis jumper. So I'm not exactly sure how it's set, but based on hearing what I'm hearing from you, it sounds like it's in the right place.
Yeah, one of these days I want to have a conversation with Richie in TEO. I know he's doing a lot of audio processing, or he's experimenting with a lot of audio processing, and the guys that are at Dayton, you know, with EQs and all kinds of filtering for the audio are somewhere around here. The guy's got a 2 call sign. So I know that our radios will pass a lot more than we actually do.
Yeah, well, when Rick first got his equalizer, he did all sorts of weird stuff, and I made him shut it off. He doesn't use it on FM. That stuff is for sideband.
I understand. So for a while, he had that cool FM radio disc jockey sound to his voice.
Yeah, he's using an RE47. I have one. I have several. I think I'm in the broadcast business. That's why I have them. But on FM, you know, you use the switch on the microphone, gives you the right response, and that's what you do. So, whatever. Have a good night. K2YOK,
E2J, K2YO 73, have a great evening. K2YO will be clear while Newsline's playing.
K2YO, disconnected.
Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1706, with a release date of Friday, April 23rd, 2010, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams are true first responders at a landslide in Rio de Janeiro. The volcanic eruption in Iceland delays an IARU meeting. Two new ham radio organizations are announced at the International DX Convention in California. And 800 attend a ham radio reception at NAB in Las Vegas. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1706, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent...
Bernie, did you do that?
Connected, K2YO.
Hello, Bernie.
Okay, there we go. Any idea what was going on there? Was the carrier not dropping?
Did you stop it? Because I don't see the process running anymore.
Yes, that's an entirely different problem. We'll get to in a minute. But what happened was the command string to do it does not. Basically, if you were at the Unix terminal, it goes off and you do not return to a prompt until Newsline is done. Which my software is sitting there waiting on that return. Without that return, my software basically locked up. So I blew my software off to get it off the screen, which then apparently tore down the connection, the console connection, which then apparently blew the task off.
All right, you want to make a change? Put an ampersand at the end of it, and your software will come right back.
put the ampersand at the end of the whole stack of my software?
Yeah, it's going to go home IILP, home slash IILP slash audio slash blah 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 news run, and then space ampersand.
Okay, I'll give that a try. Any idea why the carrier was stuck on?
Yeah, because the script didn't finish.
Gotcha. Now, even with the ampersand in place, what's going to happen if the console disconnects while that command is still running?
That should be no problem. Hey, let me check it out.
Okay, let me get my software open and I'll make a new version here.
K2YO disconnected.
Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1706, with a release date of Friday, April 23rd, 2010. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams are true first responders at a landslide in Rio de Janeiro. The volcanic eruption in Iceland delays an IARU meeting. Two new ham radio organizations are announced at the International PX Convention in California. And 800 attend a ham radio reception at NAB in Las Vegas. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1706, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from our Southeast Bureau in Birmingham, Alabama, here is David Black, KB4.
Connected, K2YO.
Okay, I'm back. Was that an asterisk or an at sign?
K2YO disconnected.
I'm just waiting for it to finish.
Connected. K2YO.
Yeah, every time you do that, you know, while it's in between the sleeps, it's an ampersand, not an at sign, not a number sign, not a dollar sign, over the seven, an ampersand. Hey Bernie, if I remember correctly, when you put that in a string and you're sending a string out, you have to use two ampersands, right? One to tell it that you're sending an ampersand, or I forget now, you either use a single quote and then, because there's certain characters you can't do that on, right?
Connected, K2YO.
I'm not entirely sure on that. I'm downloading the latest controller. I'll get ready to push the button and we'll see what happens. After it starts playing, can you go through and stop it?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, it appears the single ampersand does not work.
Did you stop it?
Negative. After I fired it off and before it started playing, I disconnected from the site.
Okay, I'm pretty sure there's something that you either have to use like if you want to send a star, you have to put two of them next to each other. There's a certain rule about that in C and Visual Basic. It's not coming in my head.
Okay, I'll look it up. Let me try for now, see if it'll play if I stay in connected and see if it'll play. That'll at least be good enough for it to use tomorrow night.
K2YO disconnected.
Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1706, with a release date of Friday, April 23rd, 2010, to follow in 5.
Connected, K K2YO.
Is there any way you can send a control C when you before you break away?
Connected K2YO.
Maybe on a control C. I'm going to have to look into that. There's no way I can do it from the current user interface. I don't think it will support control characters. But let me see what I can do. The good news is the ampersand does make it so that the user interface returns, and so it doesn't look locked up. I'll just drop Richie an email and tell him that when he plays Newsline, he has to stay in the program through the entirety of Newsline. His user interface will be active, but if he disconnects, actually, he has to stay connected to the repeater with my program the whole time.
Yeah, well, that's why when I tested it, you know, I didn't try to break out of it. I just let it go until it returns, and it's fine.
No, I understand. The other thing I need to figure out how is to make my program so they can stop Newsline. So I'll just add this to it. I've partially thought about maybe doing this throwing its own thread and just leave the thread running and then don't let them shut the software until the thread's done. But I don't know. I'll think of some good ideas here.
Well, let me just warn you something. When you spawn a process, okay, when your software goes in, it actually runs, and what happens is you'll be like kitty number two. Any additional connection you try to make will be in a different, you know, the originating terminal is where everything is. If you were to do a control C from, let's say,
controller V5.282. Clock not set. Clock not set. Ready. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Clock not set.
K2YO, K2JET.
Newsline, report number 1706, with a release date of Friday, April 23rd, 2010, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams are true first responders at a landslide in Rio de Janeiro. The volcanic eruption in Iceland delays an IARU meeting. Two new ham radio organizations are announced at the International DX Convention in California. And eight...
I do all token F10 enabled. Welcome to the New England Reflector, 912.
Channel 6.
3:14 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater. Good morning. Time is 3:14 a.m.
K2YO, K2JET. K2YO, K2JET.
Close.
Interesting. So, good morning, John. How are you?
Tired. And tired and more tired and tired and some more tired. Busy weekend. Very busy weekend.
Oh, well, that's the weekends are for. That and drinking beer, I guess.
Much time for that. I was busy, busy. Busy with the club, busy with the kids, busy with my mother-in-law, taking care of stuff at her house, working on the club's trailer. We did the night shift Saturday night with the trailer, ran all the electrical. It's all buttoned up inside, ready to rock and roll. We're just cranking along. We're cranking along. And yesterday morning, I get the phone, my wife picked up the phone, my mother-in-law, her dryer don't work. Go there, look at the dryer, the motor shot, it don't spin, off the PC Richards, gotta buy a dryer, then she decides to buy a TV. Then she says, oh, look, there's Lowe's over there, can you take me over to Lowe's? Next thing you know, filling the truck up with landscaping timbers and all kinds of Miracle-Grow, garden soil, and all kinds of stuff. So I had to fully load a truck. Get back, unload all the stuff, pull the old dryer out, put the new dryer in. What the heck?
Wonder what happened. I repeated it, shut down.
I didn't do it. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, whatever.
I was going to set this on my radio. I'll do it. Good morning, John. Pick it up, BB.
Yeah, I got in the car, turned the radio on. I was here with John, talking about buying all these things, and then I said, boy, he's got a lousy signal, and then I realized that, oh, my antenna. Put the antenna on, get back in the car, and it's nobody. I'm like, what happened? I should take the antenna back off. John?
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, so I don't know how far it got me, but fully loaded truck, back to her house, take care of the drive, put that in, take care of these landscaping timbers, all this dirt and stuff. Then she went to the TV, you know, in a bedroom, the old TV was kind of messed up, put it in, 45 minutes to program it up. Not bad, you know. About 8 o'clock last night, she calls, the TV went off, it won't go back on. Brand new Samsung, 26-inch LCD, high-def TV. Pull Samsung up. Thank God they got 24-hour numbers. Bring it back the way you bought it. Get a new one. Take it out, put it in the trunk of a car. She'll go up to PC Richards today, exchange it, and then when I get home from work, I'll go through the 45 minutes of programming the stupid TV again. Ready?
Yeah, Samsung has 24-hour numbers. Samsung TV. So,
Wow. What happened?
What do you think happened, John? Somebody's playing games.
The repeater is down again. Man, having electrical problems at the where it's located.
I tell you, this new group, I don't know. I got my doubts about it. And man, more problems with this repeater. Oh, we're going to replace it. And then they don't know how to program it. Come on.
It's a master two. It's a master two. We got a master two on 440. It's got issues. It's one of those things. It's constant TLC, man. It's not like a digitalized system, you know? All electronic with no BS.
For easy diver. I have EBS here.
Oh, a master two. I thought this was to be good. Anyway. Okay. Maybe we should have went for the Japanese model. Better watch out with PC Richards. Returns a little tough, man. John, over to you.
Nah, I called him last night. I have a secret number. I called one of the juniors, explained the situation. No problem.